we are going to listen to Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 is basically what I've got. Stephen had preached a little bit to this effect back in January 31st. He did a sermon on death and life. It's Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Just if you want to recheck that, did a nice job, did reference this chapter and verse. It came to me when Dick asked if I would preach. It's like, yep, do it on Romans 6. It's a great passage. And it's like, no, Stephen just did that. So I thought, no, that's not a good idea. I kept searching for other passages to preach on. God didn't want any of it. So he said, no, preach on that. Like, all right, I get it, I'll do it. So here we go. I am not going to refer to notes. I have them, so this is going to be more of a teaching session, perhaps. I hope it's not boring to you. Join me in reading Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has a dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives in God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to the sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Just join me in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for these words that you've given to us through your servant Paul. Help me not to mess it up. Help me to be clear. Open hearts and minds, open souls, that we can connect to you, understand our purpose for our gift of baptism in you, our death in you, and through that, our resurrection in you. Help us, Lord, to live lives that are glorifying to you so that we can enjoy you eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Again, Stephen preached on death and life. Part of his message, and probably the majority of it, was the bad news and the good news. Bad news is we're dead. There you go. That's Romans chapter 6. We're dead. Pretty simple, huh? Yeah, we're dead. Remember the movie Sixth Sense? The little boy? I see dead people. Great movie. A little psycho thriller kind of thing. I see dead people. God sees dead people. Stephen pointed out, we're dead in our sin, right? We are dead in our sin. So here we are, a bunch of dead people. Interesting group, aren't we? So, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace is what can save us, right? We don't have grace. God has grace. And what Paul's referring to is what Paul had mentioned in chapter 5, where he says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. That's 5, part of verse 20. And so what he's saying here is like, okay, sin's all over the place, right? It's abounding. But grace abounds more. So shall we continue in sin so that grace should abound more? I love the logic. Do you guys get the logic here? It just fits so perfectly with how I want to live my life. I want to live it in more sin and more self-gratification, and I want to love it. And it says here right now, I probably should, because then grace can be even greater, right? What a great piece of logic that is. We are good at twisting God's word to make it work for us, aren't we? But Paul kind of answers that by saying, certainly not, with an exclamation. No, we should not continue to live in sin or increase sin because of the gift of grace. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? How do we get rid of sin? How do we stop living in sin? Well, we can just pray, right? And then it all goes away. And we'll never sin again, right? I've tried that. It hasn't worked real well for me because I'm kind of focused on myself a lot. Praying does help. We want to come to God in prayer. Hasn't gotten rid of my sin or my desire to sin. We can get baptized. Baptism is a little different for each of us, depending on denomination. Protestant baptism is more a dedication. Catholic baptism is salvation. I tend to disagree with salvation through baptism. Salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a sprinkling of water. We think of baptism as a cleansing. Baptism is a cleansing, but when you look up the word baptism, it's defined as immersion. Okay, so if you think of baptism as immersion, and it doesn't mean that we're being dumped in the water all the way down like a Baptist ceremony. It's immersion, but it's immersion into what? It's not immersion in water. Water doesn't cleanse. Blood didn't cleanse completely because it had to be given every year by the priests in the Old Testament. What do we need to immerse ourselves in? It's Jesus Christ. If we are not fully immersed in Jesus Christ, we are dead. Nothing can take our death away. Sin is threefold. We got three aspects of sin. Sin is action, or our acts of sin. It's our state of unrighteousness before God. And it is, unfortunately, our nature. Adam messed it up for us. He decided to sin. He decided that he, too, wanted to be like God. Because after all, Satan told Eve, if you eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're not going to die. You're going to be like God. Kind of sounds enticing, doesn't it? Let's be like God. I don't think that sin has ever been removed now that that is our nature. It is imputed to us through Adam. Paul says in Romans, from the first Adam, our nature has become sinful. We are sin. Our nature is sin. We are a natural sinning group of dead people. Through the second Adam, we have life. The second Adam is Jesus Christ. But in order to have that life, we need to be connected to his death, because Paul is very clear on that. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? He doesn't say into his life. He says into his death. And that's kind of where the title came from. I had to come up with a title. People like titles. I hated that in English when you had to have a title for a composition. It's like, really? How about I write it? You make a title. I don't want to make a title. But this is the title, United to Death. Not united in death. We are united together in Christ, but we're united to his death. Prepositions matter. Respect them. Never end a sentence with a preposition. It is a conjoiner. You have to have the preposition take you somewhere. In this case, it is taking us to death. You guys that know how Dennis and I used to argue about that, it would drive me nuts. Remember when it was popular to say, oh, I'm going to go with. You're going with who? Are you going to go with what? You're going to, it would drive me nuts. You can't end it at my kids. couldn't stand it. Don't end a sentence in a preposition. And I'm glad that kind of faded out, that trend. And so, but this preposition to death is important. We were baptized into his death. How were we done? How does that happen? It's through the immersion. If we are immersed in Jesus Christ, we are immersed in everything that he is and did and does. That is what it means to live a Christian life, is to be so fully and intimately connected with Jesus Christ that everything he has done is around us, over us, through us, in us. We are permeated with who he is because we are no longer us. We are him. So recognize that. When you've been baptized, it's not just a little dedication thing. It's baptized into his death so that you then can be baptized into his life, which is eternal. And Paul goes on, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. The dead by the glory of the Father. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So if you have a new life, you must have had an old one, right? You can't have something new if the old hasn't been removed. It either was always or had to be replaced with something. What's old is our sin nature. That's got to go because that is unacceptable to Christ. Christ's blood took care of our acts of sin. We're forgiven for our sins and cleansed from our sins, past, present, and future, by the blood of Christ. That's in chapters 3 through 5, roughly. That's justification. Our unrighteousness is counted as zero. It's been reckoned as nothing by Jesus, again, by his blood. God does not see our unrighteousness anymore. So those things have been taken care of nicely. The thing that still remains is our nature, who we are from our ancestor, Adam. That is what we are living in now, and that's why we're dead. We're not only dead to God, we're really dead to ourselves because we are not who and what God made us to be. When God created everything, what did he say at the end of creation when he finished with man? He looked at it, it is very good. Everything else was good. Once he finished with us, it was very good. But unfortunately, he gave us free will. And Adam and Eve used that free will. They decided they would like to be like God. And God's response was, oh boy, they have become like us. He recognized that they have the knowledge of good and evil. We cannot let them have any fruit from the tree of life. Because if we did eat the fruit of the tree of life, we would be forever in our sin with absolutely no hope, absolutely no death to newness. We would be forever separated from God. Not his plan. He didn't make that. What does the Westminster Confession of Faith say? The purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Do we enjoy God every day? Do we enjoy the blessings he gave us every day? No. I would submit we do not. If anyone here does, I need to talk to you because I don't. I need to get a better handle on it. But we're called to enjoy him every day. And if we would just get ourselves out of the union that we have in this world and the things of this world, we are so tied in. We are baptized in this world, I would submit, rather than in Jesus Christ. And if we would switch that over and recognize our baptism in Jesus Christ, I think we would find newness of life that would be amazing. Because the little hints that we get from time to time of what it is to live for Christ, in Christ, just amazing. So, if we've been united together in his likeness in death, certainly we also have been in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So the old man, it's Bob Gordy because he's an old man. I mean, think about it. But all of us are getting old. We really are. But the old man is Adam. Our Adam nature is our old man that is being removed. It's done away with. It's not completely gone. In this life, it will not be completely gone. We are still in our mortal state. But if we die to that state, if we have our Adam nature nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ, which is what he has done for us, is to take our sin nature, nail it to the cross, bury it in the grave, and then allow us to come to a new life in him on resurrection, that nature is gone. Not completely. It's going to be attempted towards perfection as we grow in Christ, but it's when Christ comes again in his kingdom that we'll finally have that complete and perfect new life and new nature. That's the biggest thing. For he who has died has been freed from sin. The result of our death in Christ is freedom from sin. It doesn't hold its strength on us. We're going to sin. We can't get away from our nature. We're trying to perfect our nature through Christ and faith in him and by God's grace. So we should sin less and less. And we should understand when we're sinning that we have a conscience. We repent, we confess, we come to God to take us out of that. But we are not held captive to sin any longer. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, and through him and our death in him no longer has dominion over us. Our nature has dominion over us to an extent, but the newness of nature that we get starts to change all that. And we get a little bit better every day as long as we're living in Christ. But then, you know, again, it's interesting here that it says, knowing that Christ, and up above that, knowing this, that our old man was crucified, it's assuming we know this stuff. Do we? Do we really know that Christ died and we have to die with him? Do we really know that Christ was raised and so are we? Do we live as people who are under grace? Do we live as people who are resurrected? Do we live as people who can walk in light that others can't see? Do we live as people who can share that light, spread that light, change people's lives, bring them to Christ, bring them to eternal life and glory with God? I'm not good at it. It'd be better if I was, but gotta admit, I missed the mark many, many times. So again, our call is to know this, know Jesus Christ, know him so intimately that there's no other question of who you represent. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We should all be able to say that with conviction and with meaning. We should all be able to display that. Easter's coming, folks. What does it mean to you? Did Christ die in vain, or did Christ die to make you what you were meant to be initially? God created us holy. That's his expectation. We're the unholy ones. He's not. We're the responsible ones. He's not. We had to have Christ crucified because nothing else would suffice. The blood was good enough for the acts of our sin and the state of our sin. But the nature that we are, which is sin, needed death. And we need to be so united to that death that we can have the hope of new life. For death that he died to sin once for all. There is no need for another death. We shouldn't expect Christ to be crucified again because we can't follow him the way he asks us to. We need to be fully vested in Jesus Christ and living for him every minute of every day. But the life that he lives to God. That's what we're called to do. We need to get away from the concerns of this world. There is so much garbage going on today. I mean, the politics, the pandemic, the chaos, the natural disasters. I mean, the mental health issues, people being isolated, almost imprisoned because they can't be around other people. We were made for fellowship. And these things are starting to take control of every one of us, and rightfully so. I mean, this is our lives. We can't get away from it. But That's our lives here. We are aliens in this world, remember? We've been called out of this world into the eternal world, and that's where we should be focused and should be spending our time worrying about that if we got to worry, but we shouldn't be worrying at all because we're Jesus Christ's children. We are what Jesus has made us to be if we allow him to conform to him. You also reckon yourselves to be dead. I love that word, reckon. That is such an old word. It makes me think of Jethro de Bodine from the Clampets, you know? I reckon. I just love it. But it means, it doesn't mean, well, I suppose so. It kind of means you can count on, you can rely on it. It's not, I reckon. And it's not ciphering, so you reckon the answer either. It's reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. So expect yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Count on it that God has made you dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Here he's very clear. We are still mortal. We are not immortal. And in 2 Corinthians, the corruptible takes on the incorruptible. The mortal takes on immortality, but not until the trumpet sounds, which it has not done yet. So we are still mortal. So we have this nature that we can't get rid of ourselves or any other way but through the death in Christ. Do not present your members as instruments of our unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So we're supposed to present ourselves to God as those who are in righteousness, instruments of righteousness. And again, righteousness is not our state. It's not our natural state. It has been accounted to us as righteousness because of Jesus' sacrifice and his blood, giving up his life. So God no longer sees us unrighteous. So let's present ourselves that way as well. We need to focus on how we can be righteous or right with God. Again, grace is the only way. Faith in Christ through grace is only from God. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, right? We deserve eternal death, which is kind of what we're born into. But we have our hope, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. I just want to reread the passages that that Bruce had read earlier. Psalm 133, just the emphasis on how God's plan was here from the beginning. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Stephen preached on this, the brotherhood of Christ, the unity in Christ that we are. As the church, we are the unity in Christ, but we are not unified to death to anyone else but Christ. But that's a good thing. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So God knew we're going to need some help. He knew that there needed to be a blessing. And the blessing is eternal life. And Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, he's speaking, just this is right after, you know, God shows him the dry bones and brings him back to life. And he asks Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel's answer was very cool. Only you know. I'm not going to answer that one. You got the knowledge. I don't. But then this next one, the next verses afterwards, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. That's not just the old Israel nation. It's all of us. Every one of us are dry, we have no hope, and we've been cut off. However, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come up from your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. So this is God promising that he will take us from death into life, into his eternal kingdom. This isn't just the nation Israel. Again, this is all of God's people. These are the elect that he's talking about from time of Adam and Eve. Then you shall know I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. We live by the Holy Spirit, by faith in the Holy Spirit. Spirit is breath. The breath of life comes from God and God alone. That is how Adam came to life. That is how everyone comes to life. We are dead now. We have to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and be given new life in that. And that is the only way. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. God's the only way. There is nothing you can do. You can pray. You can come to church. You can be considered the most religious individual on the planet. You can be a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Taoist. Christ is the only answer. You know, whatever else you do, Christ is the answer. And then Revelations, we hear it in the book of Revelation. Behold, I am making all things new. All things, us included, because we are not what we need to be at this point. Stephen kind of ended his message, that part of it, as kind of depressing. And it is, because we are dead. And we're dead unto Christ. We're dead to Jesus. We need to be unified to his Christ, to his death. A couple things that got me going here, too, when I was reading this. There's a book called The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. He was a Chinese missionary. Early 1900s, was imprisoned after Mao took over, 1952 until his death in 1972. He was imprisoned for 20 years of his life for Christ because he was not willing to give it up. But he tells of a story where Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary as well in China before him, about one of his missionary friends who was having such a struggle. Why can't I do what God has made me to do? Why am I having so much trouble with this? What's the deal? I pray and I pray and I pray, and it's just I'm not getting to the point where I need to be. And came to Hudson Taylor and said, help me out, brother. And Taylor was confused. Brilliant missionary, just so full of the Spirit. Well, one of their friends happened to show up. They were having coffee, thermos of coffee, sitting on a table. And this friend says, well, I can help you out. Let's use this thermos of coffee for an example. Do you think that, suppose that thermos prayed to God every day. God, I don't want to be a thermos anymore. Make me something new. Turn me into something that I can be used for. Make me anything you can. And why didn't God answer that? Because the stupid thermos is a thermos. That's what it was made to be. And he couldn't answer this guy's prayer because he was refusing to see the fact that sin has made him something God didn't want him to be, but that's who he is because of his nature. And he said his eyes were open, and it's like, I get it. I have to die to myself so that Christ can live through me and be in me. And that's what we're called to do. And another, just a couple things to share. Oswald Chambers, also a British minister, died young at the age of 42, ruptured appendix. Do not ignore your abdominal complaints, folks. It can be deadly. But he wrote proliferatively and beautifully. He was a minister as well in England. And he writes here about salvation. We've become so self-centered that we go to God only for something from him and not for God himself. It is like saying, no, Lord, I don't want you. I want myself, but I do not want you to. But I do want you to clean me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be on display in your showcase so I can say, this is what God has done for me. How often do we pray for that? Make me better, Lord. Make me better instead of, Lord, make me yours. Another thing that he says about salvation here, salvation does not mean merely deliverance from sin or the experience of personal holiness. The salvation which comes from God means being completely delivered from myself and being placed into perfect union with him. In our surrender, we must give ourselves to God in the same way he gave himself for us, totally, unconditionally, and without reservation. The consequences and circumstances resulting from our surrender will never even enter our mind because our life will be totally consumed with him. So again, unity and to death so that we can be baptized in Christ, fully immersed in him, and fully attached to him, so that no longer am I seen, but Christ is seen in me. Let's pray. Holy Father, each one of us has a sin nature that we need to nail to the cross and recognize it, that has been nailed to the cross because of you. And you took that on, Lord. You took on our sin nature. And it was buried in the grave with you, not to be resurrected, but to be changed and to be made new. So, Lord, make us new in you. Help us to start to perfect that which is corruptible and bring us into newness of life with you. Help us to show the joy that it is to live under grace and to be living for you instead of for ourselves. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.